Hey, good morning, everybody. It's Monday, start of a very, very big week. We've got the State of the Union address tomorrow.
And more important, Riedel's back from vacation.
Welcome back from the road to Morocco. I was in Marrakesh and Rabat and Fez and Casablanca for a week. It was great fun. And Len did his.
Somebody saw snake charmers and everything.
Of course, in Marrakesh, in the main square, you go there. They got the snake charmers. They've got rattlesnakes and cobras, and they wear them around their necks, and they play tambourines with them, and they move around. And of course, I had the authentic thing, and what did Len do? We went to Aladdin on Broadway.
Well, I loved it.
Which was
a great
cute.
Show.
It's a great show.
Fun
Terrific
show. Yeah.
All right, leading off our big three this morning, well, the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl. It was their sixth. Rather boring game.
It was.
Rushed home from the airport last night to get a flavor of it, and it was 3-0 forever, and then I turned it off. Checked out the halftime show. That was a big fizzle and nothing there. Maroon 5 with all his tattoos. Ridiculous. Thank God, though, for the great Gladys Knight. She brought some class to the place with her version of the national anthem. Also in the big three, well, the governor of Virginia, he is refusing to step down after, he either was in the blackface picture or he wasn't. First, he said he was in this yearbook photo of himself. He was either the KKK guy or the person in blackface. He said it was him. Then he said it wasn't him. But he's admitted to blacking up to play Michael Jackson at a dance contest in the 1980s. Every Democrat is calling for his resignation. But so far, the governor of Virginia hangs on. And rounding out the big three, it is the State of the Union address tomorrow night. Will Trump declare an emergency to build his wall? Will the Democrats who despise this president, will they boo? Will they throw spitballs?
No, not going to throw
Will they walk out?
Spitballs.
Yeah, well,
what are they, in fourth grade?
Yeah, hello, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is 10.
Why don't you go back to Morocco? Really, I think that'd be a lot.
There he goes. I bet they're going to walk out. I bet you a bunch of them
will. I don't know.
If he says there's a border emergency, we got to protect our borders, I need to build a wall, I bet they get up and I bet they stampede right out of there. It's going to be one heck of a State of the Union, I think.
All right. Well, I do think that there will be, if he starts in with stories about how all these women are being duct taped and they're storming across the border and all that kind of stuff, if the president says a lot of that, maybe there'll be some blowback. I don't know. I don't think it'll be like when the guy yelled out at Obama, "You lied," but there may be. I don't know.
Oh, they're going to boo. No, they're going to move. All right, let's check in with ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts. He joins us every Monday at this time for a little preview of the State of the Union. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning. I thought you were going to play Marrakesh Express by Crosby, Stills, and Nash there for a
moment. You're a little hipper than Len is, I got to say.
Yeah, I wish I had thought of that. Really.
Yeah, that occurred. That song Len knows very, very well.
No, so.
All right, Steve, my contention is that this newly elected Congress, a lot of these real hardcore lefties, they really despise this president. Could you see them walking out if he says something controversial?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. I think that'd be foolish to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the contrast they're trying to draw is we're the party of civility, we're the party of responsibility, that Trump is the party of irrationality and recklessness. And so and the public has tended to side with Democrats on the border wall controversy and a lot of other things. Our ABC poll showed, 56% of Americans saying they definitely would not vote for Donald Trump. But the reason why, the single biggest reason for the Democratic edge is not policy. After all, the economy's doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sense, particularly among women voters, that Trump is reckless. Trump is intemperate. And I think the Democrats would be making a huge mistake to be intemperate and reckless in response to Trump. And let's remember one of the symbols. There are two very important symbols tomorrow night. One is, for the first time, Nancy Pelosi will be sitting behind the president, a symbol not only of the Democrats taking over the House, but of the rising power of women in American politics, over 100 women in the Congress for the first time in our history. And secondly, the Democratic response given by Stacey Abrams, who failed narrowly to win the governorship of Georgia, but as an African-American woman represents the single most loyal bloc of voters in the country, 92%. Of African-American women voted Democratic in the last election. So we have a lot of symbolism on the Democratic side, and they could wreck it if they seem intemperate.
Steve, you bring up a good point. The president just spent the weekend trashing Nancy Pelosi, and what she's doing is bad for America. Now, she's going to be in camera shots sitting right behind the president alongside Mike Pence. Does she just sit there stoically while he goes on and on about what's happening at the border?
I think so. You know, the traditional way that the out party shows its disfavor is simply sitting on its hands while the president's party jumps up and down and claps. You know, we saw this in reverse during the Obama years when Democrats were hooping and hollering and the Democrat and the Republicans were quiet. You know, if I don't think you're going to see a walkout, but I do think that if the president challenges Democrats, you might hear some boos. But as I say, I think this would be a mistake. I think that to get down to the president's level is probably what he wants to do. I think he'll bait the Democrats. I think he wants them to boo. I think he wants them to, because I think that's the way he then tweets 5 minutes later to his base. See, you know, the Democrats are just hate me. And that's the reason why they oppose everything I do.
We're on with Steve Roberts, ABC News political analyst from Washington, joins us every week at this time. And Steve, the president is talking about a major announcement during his State of the Union tomorrow night. Is this the state of emergency that he's going to announce at the border?
Well, he might. You know, there are a lot of Republicans very uneasy with the notion of him declaring a state of emergency in order to divert funds from other accounts to build a wall. And there are three reasons for this. One is every dollar in the federal budget is already allocated, already spoken for. If he tries to take money from the military, there are going to be screams of pain. If he tries to take money from accounts that are helping alleviate the impact of disasters in some places, there are going to be screams of pain. Secondly, Republicans are very concerned about the legal implications, because this almost immediately would be challenged in court on the grounds this is not a true national emergency. And third, and most significantly, you know, people in Washington don't really ever think about what life would be like if the tables were turned. But there are some Republicans thinking that. Mm-hmm. And if Trump sets the precedent of rather carelessly and loosely using a national emergency to set policy, suppose 2 years from now Republicans are thinking it's President Kamala Harris, it's President Joe Biden. Think of the precedent that gives Democrats the chance to use those powers against us. So this would not be a popular move for all of those reasons, even amongst Republican supporters of Trump.
Something to be wary of. Hey, Steve, I want to get your take on something. We've got the governor of Virginia. Admits to have using blackface to be Michael Jackson back in the 80s. And you have every leading Democrat calling for his resignation. Now, there seems to be this kind of zero tolerance for anything that anybody ever did in the Democratic Party that might be remotely offensive, even if they did it a long time ago. Is that going to be a bit of a problem for the Democrats, this purity test?
Yes, I agree with you. And I think that this is a difficult precedent, but this is not the first time we've seen this. You know, when Senator Al Franken, to take an example of someone who there were just a few photographs surfaced of his very unpalatable views, to put it mildly, toward women. He was forced out before the Ethics Committee even had a chance to rule on him. And I think the zero tolerance it can come back to bite the Democrats, because this is this happened a long time ago. But let's remember, the Democratic Party is putting its hopes in the future on the rising tide of non-white votes. Stacey Abrams, who is going to give the Democratic address, an African-American woman, lost the governor of Georgia. But the single most loyal voting bloc are African-American women, 92%. And so and the electorate in the next election is only going to be two-thirds white. I mean, you look at all of those long-range trends and you understand the Democratic Party has a deep vested interest in maximizing the non-white vote. That's one of the reasons why they're so anxious to get rid of Governor Northam as quickly as possible, because they don't want any of that core constituency to think that the Democratic Party not standing with them.
But, Steve, you see people apologizing. I mean, you know, Elizabeth Warren, oh, I shouldn't have taken the DNA test. Cory Booker said, oh, I misbehaved around women at some point. I mean, the Democrats are all rummaging around their closet to find things to get them out now and say, I was a terrible person back in the day.
Well, I agree with your implication that this kind of scattershot approach can wound a lot of people. I think that, you know, we saw this in the Kavanaugh hearings too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And dredging up pictures from a yearbook. There, of course, was high school. Northam was in medical school. I mean, he was an adult at the time and should have known better. But there are these purity tests. We are in a period where people are applying these tests, and I think we haven't seen the end of it. I think that these pictures surfaced in part because I think conservative news organizations are scouring the landscape to try to find these kinds of things to embarrass Democrats. And that's fair enough. I'm not saying that's illegitimate. I think good reporting is good reporting. But yep. The Democrats do run a risk here of zero tolerance can bite a lot of good people.
All right. ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Always a pleasure.
Take it easy. All right, when we come back, hey, the Virginia governor we just talked about is not the only person in trouble for using blackface. Mary Poppins is taking some heat as well. Is that beloved movie racist? Plus, you can win tickets to see the Broadway show Chicago. And don't forget the debut tonight of WOR's new show, Joe Concha and Lise Wheel, this evening from 6 to 9. Now let's get the traffic.
Well, a few minutes, you're going to have an opportunity to win dinner and show tickets to see Chicago on Valentine's Day. And our contest will be, we're going to play a little clip of a romantic film.
Ooh.
If you know what the clip is, what film it's from, you're on your way to Chicago, romantic night of Chicago and dinner, to which Michael Riedel says...
Well, it's a little odd since Chicago is about a woman who murders her lover.
Well, that's romantic.
And all the other women in jail with her, they killed all their husbands and lovers, well, too. So I don't know how romantic this thing is, Natalie.
I mean, it's a cautionary tale for people thinking about getting engaged or married. Maybe we're trying to help them out. Give a little advice here.
I don't know. Chicago's now in its like 23rd or 25th year on Broadway.
I saw it originally with... Oh, God.
Jerry Orbach. Back in the set. It was a failure then. And then I went to see the show.
Yeah, the place was half empty when I saw it.
No, it was overwhelmed by another show you may have heard of back then called A Chorus Line.
Well,
which
I saw them both the same day. It was crazy. I was living
in
Boston.
Wow.
I was living in Boston, came down, walked up to the box office, no problem getting to Chicago. So he said, well, let's go over to Chorus Line. And they said, oh, we just had these house seats turned in.
Wow. That
was an impossible show to get into.
You know, that is a great historic day on Broadway to see Chicago and A Chorus Line the same day.
Yeah, Jerry Orbach and then saw Marvin Hamlisch's show.
Terrific. But Chicago's a wonderful, wonderful show.
Now, coming up, I know you're all dying to know who won our staff Super Bowl contest if you were with us last Friday. Natalie usually wins. Are you going to win this one again, Natalie?
I don't think so.
See, Natalie tweeted out.
I had a good start, but,
well, see,
I lost it.
As soon as Gladys Knight went long on the anthem
and
the coin toss wound up tails, Natalie tweets out, led bourbon, I did this, and aren't I great? You got to be careful. A little premature.
Yes, I know.
Premature exuberation there on your part, Natalie.
It was. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little arrogance on the part
we'll
of
see.
Our producer.
We'll see. We'll divulge who won the Super Bowl contest around 9:25. And then 9:40, very excited, the great singer-songwriter Bryan Adams joining us. He's got Pretty Woman on Broadway, and he's got some great songs. You know all of his songs. So he'll be joining us at 9:40. But, Michael, here's a culinary question for you.
A culinary question.
Do you eat foie gras?
I do eat foie gras, yes.
Really? Natalie, do you eat foie gras?
I have, absolutely.
I don't think I ever have.
You couldn't even...
Bartlett doesn't look like a foie gras guy.
Can Bartlett even pronounce foie gras?
Have you ever eaten foie gras?
I love it.
Really?
Eats it every day.
You love it.
Yeah.
I'm the only one in the group who's never had it.
Why? You've never had foie gras?
Never had it. I don't know. What is it?
Do you know what it is?
Fatty liver.
That's what animal?
From a duck or geese. Uh-huh. Anyway, or goose. So the apparently this city councilwoman by the name of Carlina Rivera wants to outlaw foie gras because of the treatment to animals.
Yeah.
What happens is, according to the Post, they force feed ducks and geese to enlarge their livers. Feeding tubes are stuck down the animals' throats during the process. They say the animal rights people say it's painful and inhumane. Well, it can't be inhumane if it's animals.
Yeah, all right.
It's animalistic.
Tough being a duck these days, you know?
Anyway, yeah. Duck goose.
Too bad.
You know, it's funny. I was out to dinner a while back with my girlfriends, and there was foie gras on the menu. And I was pregnant, and you're not supposed to have it when you're pregnant.
Why not? It's got alcohol in it?
It's not pasteurized or, you know, something like that.
Oh, please.
So my girlfriend and I both were pregnant. We looked at each other like, forget it. We're going to have it. Well, 2 days later, I went into labor 6.5 weeks early.
Whoa!
And until this day, I'm like, well, it was the foie gras.
Oh, really? Well, listen, I don't like to torture animals because I love animals, but, you know, I got to say, like when you have foie gras, it's like,
it's worth it.
Force feed those ducks all that fatty food you want to, folks.
So what was this Mary Poppins deal?
Chim, chiminy, chim, chiminy, chim, chim, chiree. A sweep is as lucky can be.
So what's the deal?
So this is the insanity of the politically correct left. Some idiot professor named Daniel Pollack Pelsner, he wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times criticizing Mary Poppins because in the chim, chiminy, chiree scene, you know, her friend is Bert, who's a chimney sweep, and they go down the chimney and they come back up and they got soot on their face.
Right.
So this guy says it's blackface and it's offensive.
Really?
Blackface, and it's offensive because in the books, Travers, who wrote the books, she, you know, used some unfortunate racial terms to describe black people back
in the 30s. Outlaw everything, Riedel.
This
is everything goes.
This has nothing to do with racism. They're in a chimney. They have soot on their face. It is not that.
All right. Now's your chance to score the perfect date for Valentine's Day. Just be the first caller who can correctly identify this movie quote. If you know this quote, you're going to win.
When you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
If you know the movie quote, call 800-321-0710. You could win a pair of tickets to see the longest-running American musical on Broadway, Chicago, and dinner on us before the show. Get tickets at ChicagoTheMusical.com. And to get the latest news, you get it from Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Lynn. An argument on a subway platform in Queens yesterday leaves one man dead. This happened on a Manhattan-bound 7 train. Transit police say there was a fight between two men, started on the train, spilled out onto the platform at the 90th Street station at Roosevelt Avenue. They're actually looking for two men. They've released the video of this incident, and they're hoping the public can help identify the suspects. For hire vehicles, now subject to a congestion pricing fee, $2.50 will apply to all yellow cabs and other for-hire drivers as they go south of 96th Street. Governor Cuomo pushed for that idea to help fund subway repairs. Jury deliberations expected to begin in the El Chapo trial today. The defense called just one witness to counter the 50 witnesses that testified against the alleged Mexican drug lord during an 11-week trial. Prosecutions say he is the most deadly person to Americans, even more so than Osama bin Laden. President Trump teasing a big announcement in his State of the Union address set for tomorrow night. In that CBS interview, he didn't really say much about whether he'd declare a national emergency or build a border wall or much about his plans to withdraw troops from around the world.
Trump recently announced he would be reducing the numbers of troops in Afghanistan and Syria, but now seeming to waver on if it will be a permanent solution. And on Super Bowl Sunday, a more personal comment from the president, saying he'd have a hard time letting his son Barron play football, what he calls a dangerous sport.
There you go. Dangerous sport yesterday. That is correspondent Tara Palmieri. Power back on at a federal prison in Brooklyn where inmates have been without heat and lights for a week. Prisoners had been banging on the windows to call attention to the problem. Their relatives were outside protesting the situation. Governor Cuomo is now calling for an investigation. Our news brought to you today by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. It's the day after the Super Bowl. That means millions of Americans are expected to miss work. Known as the Super Bowl fever, the Monday after the big game is one of the biggest days of the year for calling out.
Well, they're hungover, right?
Yeah, out late, parties, hungover, you name it.
So what was the over-under on Bartlett showing up for work today?
Well, he didn't care. It was he hates the Patriots.
I would say.
So there's no. If it was a Giant game, we wouldn't see him
for days.
I'd find him.
8 million people, more than 8 million people, planned ahead and took the day off. Nearly 5 million will just call up and say, "I'm sick."
How do they figure that?
Yeah,
they called around. Yeah, okay, 27 over there at Mutual of Omaha, 16 at McDonald's. How do they know it's 8 million?
I don't know. So you have 8 million that planned the day off. 5 million will call in sick, and then several more are just going to be late.
Okay, very good.
We didn't have that option.
Well, you never do.
We never do.
Because the show that begins at 6 begins at 6.
Absolutely.
It's not 7 or 8 or an hour.
Thank God it was a boring game.
Thanks, Joe. It was boring, yeah.
Bartlett wouldn't be here. Now the news with Noam Layden.
Up next, we're going to be joined by ABC entertainment guru Larry Hackett. He's going to slice and dice what happened last night at the Super Bowl. I don't know, some of those commercials, but and the halftime.
The Andy Warhol commercial was great.
Was it
I
really
love
good?
That one. That was good, yeah.
A couple of decent ones.
That was a good one.
Anyway, plus, we've got the debut of WOR Tonight with Joe Concha and Lise Wheel. That's this evening from 6 to 9.
Hey, I want to tell you about iHeartRadio Broadway, bringing you the best of Broadway 24/7, driven by Mercedes, the best or nothing. Now, this new station, which I listen to every day, features music from all your favorite Broadway shows. We got Chicago. We've got The Lion King. Len's new favorite show, Aladdin.
Aladdin, that was great.
Rent, Jesus Christ Superstar, Hair, Hairspray. All the great shows are on the iHeartRadio Broadway channel. Plus, you've got podcasts hosted by yours truly and Light FM's Christine Nagy. Now, there are three ways to enjoy this station. Visit iHeartRadioBroadway.com or search Broadway on the iHeartRadio app or stream the Broadway station on all your smart speakers and devices. So if you love Broadway shows, if you love a great show tune, tune in to iHeartRadio Broadway.
And if you want to get the latest traffic, well, here's Bernie Biter for that.
All right, it's time to analyze the Super Bowl halftime show, which I think was boring and terrible. That guy with his shirt off and all of his tattoos. Thank God for Gladys Knight. Puzzle of class.
What do you have against Maroon 5?
Well, they were boring last night, I thought. Come on.
Well, did you realize that he took off an article of clothing every time he started a new song?
Yes.
That was the way. So at some point, my daughter goes, oh, the shirt's coming off next.
And Len's waiting for the pants.
I was hoping the pants would not come. No, by the way, I was not that impressed with the halftime show. I do like Maroon 5, Adam Levine. But
all right,
let's see what our expert
says. Here to give us his take on the halftime show and the commercials, the Super Bowl commercials. We're joined by ABC News contributor. He knows all things about entertainment, Larry Hackett, a good friend of this program. All right, Larry, are we right or wrong about Maroon 5 and his tattoos and pants?
Well, you're not wrong. It also dawns on me that, you know, I always thought Maroon 5 was a reference to the color, right? But now I realize watching them alone on the stage, it was Marooned 5.
Yes.
You guys who worked on that one on the way down here this morning.
Exactly. I got up very early.
You make fun of my little jokes. Exactly. Well, you guys are the newspaper business.
Yeah, but we're clever. You're not.
Okay. See, here's the problem, right? It's a 17-minute show.
Too long.
Huh?
Too long,
but, you know, remember, you know, the most famous live show ever was Queen at Live Aid, 21 minutes, and people still talk about it. They just made a movie about it, for God's sake.
Yeah, I love that movie.
So that shows you how you can actually take that time and make it effective.
Yeah.
The problem with Maroon 5 is, unlike The Who or Tom Petty or Beyonce, there are not iconic songs
exactly.
that can then rally people, right?
Exactly.
So it all kind of sounded the same. Putting aside the controversy about whether or not they should have been there or not, or should they have boycotted in support of Colin Kaepernick, the show was just bland and ineffectual, and it will be forgotten if it hasn't been already by lunchtime.
What did you think about Gladys Knight's rendition of the national anthem?
I thought she was terrific. I thought, you know, she's a local person. You know, people have been watching her. If you're of a certain age, you've been seeing her on TV for 45 years.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought she was fantastic, and she got the job done.
But
with a song that, you know, is very, very hard to sing.
And to your point, though, she's a legend.
Right.
She's iconic.
Exactly.
And that's the level that you want at something like the Super Bowl.
You do, but you could also have somebody who would do something maybe subversive or very, very interesting if it was well done. In this case, it just was not. It all seemed very forced. There was a moment in his performance when the camera caught him kind of exhorting very frustratingly the crowd to get him into it.
Right.
He knew he was losing the crowd.
And also the other thing you see, too, is that, you know, Gladys Knight, she does not need pyrotechnics. She doesn't need fireworks and drones and all the stuff going beyond this.
She has the pipes.
That was just terrific.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It really was.
Yeah. Best halftime show of all time, do you think? Do you remember one that sticks out in your
mind? Oh, wow. I would probably say, for the anthemic nature of what you need at that kind of moment, Prince.
Yeah, I agree. I was sitting there.
Yeah.
I was sitting. It was in Miami. It was raining. I was sitting in the stands. I was just there as a fan with my family. Rained the entire night. And the best part of the entire experience was Prince singing Purple Rain in the rain.
Exactly.
Blew me away. And I wasn't the biggest Prince fan. I thought you're absolutely right. Prince was spectacular.
Question for you. Since the Super Bowl is such an American thing, could you have a non-American band perform at the halftime show?
If they had achieved a certain international success, sure, I don't see why not.
Yeah,
I
mean, so you have the Who
McCartney.
Or something like that.
Exactly. But that's not what you mean. You mean like maybe a Latin act or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Something like that, you know.
Yeah. If they are at the apex of popular culture at that moment, sure, they could do that.
Come on, Travis Scott? Give me the look, give me the look. Come on, big boy. But I know y'all want to dance.
Again, artists in their own right that have fans. But I mean, to kind of like mush them together with Maroon 5 just seemed bewildering at best and dull at, you know, I think most people think.
Now, people make such a fuss out of we're on with Larry Hackett. He does great stuff with Good Morning America. You're heading there next, aren't you?
I was going to be on this morning, but
in fact,
I got bumped.
Oh, that would happen to me at
the show. Well, because we were going to talk about the halftime show, and they decided,
Enough, huh?
It was a dull.
No, they would call me and say, okay, you're supposed to be on.
That's not true. You guys called first. You had dibs.
That's true. We did.
Well, thank you. But anyway, Larry does GMA and People Magazine. He used to run that show. And people make so much of the commercials. I'm kind of bored by the commercials by now. Is it still such a cultural thing in your mind?
Well, there was nothing last night that would make you unbored with the commercials. They were very tame, very timid. The most interesting thing about it seems to me, is that if you had not been around in the past 5 years and tuned in, you'd think you were living in a science fiction movie. There were so many commercials referencing Alexa or the Alexa-like devices. There was this one creepy one about this workout mirror where you stood in front of the mirror and the mirror talked to you as you did your exercises.
Yeah, I saw that one.
There was the sad Alexa in the Pringles commercials. So they were kind of funny, but the technology theme was in a lot of them. But they were not terribly adventurous. They were all kind of forgettable. There was absolutely no politics, nothing incendiary or, you know, kind of like sit up in your chair and go, wow, that was nervy.
The one that I thought was most fascinating, showing my age, was the Andy Warhol Burger King.
I agree with you.
Where he just ate, because you were thinking, at first I was thinking, is that really Andy Warhol? Then you realize that's actual clip from an old
movie.
When
you walk into the Warhol exhibit at the Whitney, that is the first thing you see, is the film of him doing that. So, and in many ways, of course, his whole shtick was about taking, you know, the banal and the everyday and making it art.
Absolutely.
So this has just completed the circle.
What was the commercial for?
For Burger King.
It was a film. It was an experimental film made about 38 or 39 years ago of him eating a Burger King hamburger. That's it, sitting there eating it.
With Heinz ketchup.
With Heinz ketchup. And, of course, it's supposed to obviously refer back to the Campbell soup cans and the Brillo thing and what he made his art about. And in this case, the Burger King people actually said, touche, and let me have the ad, and they made it into a piece of commerce. And I will say that the Warhol Foundation were absolutely thrilled about the idea.
Wow. Absolutely. And also, it's Burger King, and it's a commercial that's not all bells and whistles. No. It's just Andy Warhol Burger King emblem there.
You wonder if anybody who has been watching the game that far, because I think it was the third or fourth quarter,
was around for it
and knows who he is.
Yeah, it could be.
And if they're not going to go out and buy a burger because he is iconic. That is true.
I thought that Jason Bateman commercial was cute. I don't know if you saw that one where he's in an elevator operator.
Yeah.
And someone walks on and says, I want to get a used car. And you're going all the way down.
Yeah.
So they have to stop at several floors on the way down. One is root canal. One is jury duty.
Yeah.
It was very cute. And eventually they said, no, we know what we're getting, whatever the car was. I forgot the
Hyundai.
Brand already. Hyundai.
Right.
So you're going up. But, I mean, I thought it was cute.
Well, Advertising 101 will tell you that's a problem. If you can't remember the car, what's the point of spending $5 million for a 30-second ad?
Right, but none of the commercials is like with the Apple, famous Apple one, where they hurl the anvil, right, and then break the
whole thing. There's nothing at all like that. I mean, you had Bud Light, which had four commercials last night, which were pretty funny. They were that medievals thing. They had one which was a tie-in with Game of Thrones, which was like, huh, that's kind of interesting. Game of Thrones, not known for its humor, was in there. But the other three were about how they don't use corn syrup in their beer, and Coors Light and Miller Lite do.
Who cares?
Thank you. Who cares?
Exactly.
Very odd kind of thing.
All right, Larry Happ.
Always great having you on.
ABC Pleasure to be here.
News entertainment correspondent. Good to talk to you, Larry. Thanks a lot.
You bet.
All right, when we come back, the phones are open, okay? 1-800-321-0710. Now, the Democrats are calling for the head of the Virginia governor for using blackface in the 80s. Should your past be held against you? Should you be destroyed for doing something stupid years ago? Or are the Democrats becoming vengeful furies with their zero tolerance policies?
Those Dems, those crazy
Dems. We want to know what you think. 1-800-321-0710.
Well, another year has come. We're all looking for ways to commit to improving our health. Mine is going to be consuming over 10 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, because consuming over 10 servings of fruits and veggies boosts my immune system and gives me the nutrients my body needs to improve my overall health. My secret is I'm taking Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies. Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies are 31 different whole ripened fruits and veggies in a capsule. Give them a call. They'll even put you in touch with a free health coach to get you set up on how much you should be taking and how you're feeling throughout the week. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. They'll even take 35% off your first order with promo code WOR. They have seriously helped improve my health, so try them. Go to balanceofnature.com and use promo code WOR for 35% off your first order of Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
And now, time for traffic from Bertie Biter.
Good morning, everyone. As we start another week, 8:54 in the morning, the phone lines are open, 800-321-0710. Michael Riedel poses the question, talking about the governor of Virginia, who's still in office at last look. Should you be punished for something you did years ago? We're talking about yearbook pictures. At first, he said he was in the picture. One was blackface. One was wearing a KKK outfit. Then he said it wasn't he, but he did admit that he once put some shoe polish on his face and did a Michael Jackson routine in a show. What do you think? Should you be punished for something that's maybe 30 years old? 800-321-0710. I just want to tell you that Chris Sippel from Baldwin knew this movie clip.
When you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
That's, well, Billy Crystal,
of
right?
Of course it is, from Harry Met Sally.
Oh.
That's the finale of Harry Met Sally. Absolutely. So we're all this week, we'll play a little romantic scene from a movie, and if you get it right, you'll be getting you'll be getting dinner and tickets to see Chicago on Valentine's Day on Broadway.
Where the women kill their mates. Very romantic show.
Doesn't get any more romantic than that. All right, let's go to the phones. What do you guys think on this issue? Let's start with Art in Copaig. Hey, Art.
Hey, good morning. How are you? No, it should not be held against him, simply because people change over time. But more importantly, the school bears responsibility here. And who's going after the medical school? If he posted a picture totally naked, they would have censored that, wouldn't they? But it was part of the time. It's part of the history. And this is another Salem witch hunt.
Very interesting.
Good point, Art. All right, let's go to Roger in Fishkill. Good morning, Roger.
You definitely should resign. Look what happened to Senator Franklin. He resigned when those photos came from those airplanes. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, but do you think...
He wanted his neck and his head.
Yeah, but do you think this is a good thing that, you know, your past can come back and just destroy you completely for some boneheaded move you made years ago?
Yeah, because what you did in the past, it always stays with you. You just cover it up. So I think he should resign, period.
Wow, you got one and one. It was Al Franken, not Franklin. But thank you, Raj. Appreciate it. How about Mac in Demorest, New Jersey? Hey, Mac, what do you think?
This is what I think. I think yesterday I heard all these comments. It was 35 years ago. What difference does it make? It's not important. Yet 6 months ago in the Kavanaugh hearings, when it was 35 years ago, they were calling him a sexual predator, a drunk, and 35 years was important. And the word of God, the man is no good. They're hypocrites, and they just don't do things on a fair and equal basis in this country anymore, and I'm just pretty much tired of it.
Are you blaming one side or the other?
Not really. I just think that you have to treat both sides the same. We have to have equal justice under the law. We have to have equal respect for everybody. If one person's comments from 35 years ago is important and somebody else's is false, where do you draw the line? How do we know it?
All right. Thanks, Mac. I know, Michael, I know you feel that you shouldn't go after this guy for something that's so old.
I think the past, you know, cannot be used to destroy your whole career because you did something stupid when you were your kid. Hey, let's go to Ron in Pittsburgh. Where do you stand on this one, Ron?
Pittsburgh.
Hey, Michael. I haven't called since you've been took somebody's place. And I really like how Len reacts to you. You don't bring out the violent part in Len. So keep that up.
He does or does not?
He does not.
Oh, good. Okay.
I think he made you more of a mellow Democrat.
There you go.
But you know what? I feel like this. I'm not a Democrat, but I think Republicans and these liberals, they got this brand that gets liberal whackers on both sides, who, like that one guy said with Kavanaugh, and they're so worried about the past. I don't really see a big problem with the past because anybody can change. I mean, if you committed the crime, you might as well give them a death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe. He grew up at a time, my father grew up in that same time period, and I watched my dad change.
Yeah.
And I believe it wasn't that big of a deal back then when he did that, because how many people you know went to Halloween parties just like pregnant nuns?
Yeah.
And so I think it's just...
All right, thanks, Ron. Appreciate it. I appreciate your listening in Pittsburgh. How about let's go to Spencer in East Windsor, New Jersey. Hey, Spencer.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Spencer.
I do think the governor should resign, and my position is because he's serving in the capacity of a public servant. It's not like working for a private job. I think by not asking him to resign, that's almost tantamount to saying that we, you know, permit or we accept what his actions were, and his actions were very serious. I think it'd be different if, while he was running, if it came out during his campaign. if he had gotten a chance to explain what he had done, then the voters, you know, could decide for themselves. But by letting this come out as he's the governor, I almost get a sense that he was hiding it. Personally, I don't believe at all that he doesn't remember whether he was the one in the call.
All right, Spencer. Interesting that kind of half and half with
Absolutely.
Our callers.
Fascinating.
Good stuff. Hey, coming up next, our TV morning show mashup, what they're yakking about this morning, including the Super Bowl MVP. It's all coming up, but right now it's 9 o'clock.